RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present your program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus for Ukraine, Headline Newspaper, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said Indonesia military tonight must avoid practical politics. Indonesia must confront regional wealth disparity, UNDP said. Indonesia Maritime Access Program showing positive result, Minister Ramli says. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo this morning gave a speech in Indonesia military TNI leadership meeting. In his speech, the president called on all TNI soldiers not to be involved in practical politics. The president said TNI politics is the state politics, so TNI must side with the state policies. President Joko Widodo also asked TNI to keep staying in one vertical command and maintain loyalty to their leader. The president also called for all soldiers to keep improving their capacity as professional soldiers to preserve national defense. Similar to the president, Joko Widodo, TNI Commander General Gatot Nurmantio reminded all his soldiers not to be involved in practical politics. The leadership meeting was attended by 182 TNI officers as well as officials from the Defense Ministry, Lemhanas and Bakamla. Army, Navy and Air Force Chief of Staff were also present. The president was accompanied by Coordinating Political, Legal and Security Affairs Minister Luhut Panjaitan, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, Agriculture Minister Amran Sulaiman and Presidential Chief of Staff Teten Masduki. Indonesia needs to reduce inequality between people living in different provinces by further investing in infrastructure, creating more employment opportunities and improving education quality and social protection, particularly in remote areas, according to United Nations Development Program UNDP. UNDP Director for Indonesia Christoph Wuhet said on Tuesday that the Indonesian Human Development Index HDI had great potential to raise its status from medium to high human development if the government could implement better policies. Wuhet noted that the first message that we have to emphasize is that Indonesia wants to have higher human development. The country needs to reduce inequality. In the Human Development Report HDR 2015 released by UNDP in December 2015, Indonesia ranked 110th of 188 countries. According to Wuhet, investment in infrastructure would help Indonesia create more jobs, reduce disparity, and lead to poverty elimination. Similar to other middle-income countries with 10% poverty rate, Wuhet said the challenge remains for Indonesia to reach out to those 10 as they usually live in unreachable and remote areas. The Maritime Access Program, being implemented by President Joko Widodo and his government, is currently running positively. It was stated by Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Rizal Ramli on Tuesday. He said establishing a maritime culture is very important as the facet to transform the nation into maritime access. Moreover, he pointed out that the five main pillars that must be realized to help Indonesia become a maritime access and progress in this area is now beginning to show results. Minister Ramli explained that the first pillar was the need to build a maritime culture by raising awareness and motivating the people to realize the vision. It will serve as a foundation to develop the nation into maritime access, both at the regional and global level. The second initiative aims to utilize maritime resources through the shipping industry, with the fishermen as the main pillars. In this case, the government would procure 5,000 ships during the next 5 years. The minister explained that the third pillar aimed to develop infrastructure and inter-island connectivity. The fourth initiative was to promote maritime diplomacy. The fifth one focuses on strengthening maritime defense. Indonesia should strengthen the Navy both in terms of its arsenal and personnel to become the greatest power in Southeast Asia. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said on Tuesday that Indonesia still has a deficit in its balance of trade as exports have not recovered. He added that the fact that the exports have not recovered is not separable from the ongoing uncertainty about the global economy, which led to a low demand for Indonesian products. The increase in the import of capital goods is a good indicator of economic growth. He denied that the recent increase in government spending on imported goods has led to deficit in the balance of trade. Indonesian balance of trade recorded a deficit $346.4 million in November 2015. However, overall, the balance trade from January to November saw a surplus of $7.81 billion. The government of Indonesia should be more active in conducting sanity talks and step of diplomacy. The sovereignty and independence problem being faced by the Palestinians can be resolved. That was stated by former rector of State Islamic University, Sharif Hidayatullah, Jakarta, as Sumardi Asra to Erie World Service in Jakarta on Tuesday, after becoming one of the speakers of the International Conference on Jerusalem. According to Sumardi Asra, Indonesia as a great nation can invite other countries in the world to recognize the independence and sovereignty of Palestinian state.
Saya kira memang Indonesia harus lebih aktif. Ya, dengan adanya konferensi ini.
The conference, this is good, but I think Indonesia should be more active to conduct diplomatic efforts so that the Palestinian problems, including recognition and independence and sovereignty of Palestine, can be resolved immediately. This is the point. Some countries already stated the recognition, and Indonesia as a big country can encourage other countries to recognize the sovereignty and independence of Palestine.
Untuk segera juga mengakui Palestina dan kemerdekaan sekaligus kedaulatan Palestina.
Sumardi Asra also added, although the Indonesian government is still sticking to the principle of two-state solution, Arab Palestine and Israel state, but the step of diplomacy that conducted by Indonesian government deemed to be lacking, so that the result of the International Conference on Jerusalem must be followed. To respond to the issue, Director General of Multilateral Affairs of Indonesia Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Hasan Klait, on the same occasion to Erie World Service, said that one of the main purposes of the International Conference on Jerusalem is to pressure the Israeli government to be more realistic and stop the occupation against Palestinian people. Surely the two-state solution is not from Indonesia, this is from all countries. Indonesia, through forums like this, continues to urge Israel to be realistic. It means the issue must be solved. Palestine is already too long in occupation.
Therefore, according to Hasan Klait, Indonesia has been willing to host the International Conference on the question of Jerusalem because it is an added value for Indonesian government as a supporting country of Palestinian independence, as well as a commitment of Indonesian government to remind the international community about the Palestinian issue that is unresolved. The International Conference on the Question of Jerusalem, Addressing the Past and Shaping the Future of Jerusalem, was the second international conference on Palestine held in Jakarta from December 14 until 15, 2015, by the United Nations in cooperation of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation and Indonesian government, which was attended by almost all of UN member states and several United Nations organizations such as UNDP and UNIN, as well as NGOs and European Union. Indonesian Central Statistics Agency records that Indonesian trade performance had experienced deficit $346 billion in November 2015. Head of the agency, Suryamin, on Tuesday said that it was the first deficit during 2015, on which Indonesia enjoyed surplus in January until October 2015. He added one of the biggest factors of the deficit was the decline of commodities prices in the global market.
Faktor yang salah satu yang memang besar juga ya pengaruhnya yaitu adalah harga komoditas barang-barang ekspor.
One of the major factors is the commodity prices of export goods have not improved if we compare to last year. From November to October this year, there was still much decline in prices. So the international commodity prices are causing our export increase in volumes, but the price had decreased.
Yang menyebabkan ekspor kita juga walaupun ada beberapa yang volumenya cukup meningkat, tapi karena harganya terjadi penurunan dan secara total terjadi penurunan ya.
Suryaman further said the export in November 2015 reached $11.16 billion, while its import amounted to $11.51 billion. As a total, Suryamin added that the Indonesian trade performance in January until November 2015 had experienced surplus worth $7.8 billion. The main destinations of Indonesian export are the United States, China, and Japan. The last item, Haryadi Sukamdhani, chairman of the Employers Association of Indonesia, or APindo, predicted that the Indonesian economy will grow by 5.5% in 2016. The figure is higher compared to 5.3% assumption made by the government in 2016 state budget. The projection is considered moderate based on the development of global economy and domestic economic reform, which had shown improvement, although not yet significant. Haryadi added that in 2016, growth will be driven by the government's actions, including improving government consumption and attracting investment through the acceleration of infrastructure projects such as toll roads, ports, and electricity. These actions are considered to be in line with the government's effort to reduce logistic costs. Furthermore, Haryadi said that improvement on investment climate supported by economic policy packages are also predicted to increase investment by 8.6 to 9% through increasing domestic demands and export activities. Haryadi added that social and political stability in the country will also help to improve the country's economic condition. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary entitled Saudi Women Now Have Suffrage. Listener, 2015 may be the most historic year in the Middle East. In this year, ISIS militant group emerges and unsettles the world. In this year, Iran is willing to curb its nuclear ambitions. A good relief for Iran and the world community. But the most interesting event is happening in Saudi Arabia. On Saturday, December the 12th, for the first time, Saudi women can participate in the elections. It has been 3 times for Kingdom of Saudi Arabia to hold elections, but only in their 3rd elections, the women can exercise their voting rights. It is a fairly rapid progress considering the Arab culture, which severely restricts women in many facets of life. For the city council in a few major cities, there are 978 women candidates, while male candidates are 5,938. According to local officials, in total there are 130,000 women voters and 1.35 million men voters. For the first time, a woman has won seats in the election of municipal representatives in Saudi Arabia. Salma binti Al-Tabi Hizab wins a seat as a member of Madrakah City Council, Makkah Province, a position in charge of matters related to urban affairs, among others, waste management and maintaining public places. The decision to allow women to participate in the elections was taken by the late King Abdullah and is regarded as an important legacy of his reign. When announcing the change, King Abdullah said that women in Saudi Arabia have shown the position of expressing the right opinions and advice. Before he died in January, he appointed 30 women to be part of the Shura Council, the country's main advisor. Until now, 20 women have won the city council seats in Saudi Arabia, although the number was only 1% of the approximately 2,100 seats being contested. It indicates the development of the democratic process in Saudi Arabia. Although the number of women voters is still far less than that of male voters, this election is the first step towards further developments. At least this time, the election in Saudi Arabia has attracted the world's attention towards the situation of women there. And listener, that was commentary.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of our RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past, as recorded in history. We start from an event occurred on December 16th, the day of establishing of Indonesian Armed Forces Academy, AKABRI. AKABRI is a military school which produces the first officer, which was established on December 16, 1965. Embryo of the military academy, AKABRI, began on October 31, 1945, with the construction of a military academy in Yogyakarta on the orders of Lieutenant General Urip Sumoharjo. After the War of Independence, several academies stand alone in several places in Java. Then they incorporated into the National Military Academy, which was established in 1957. The Academy is an integration of four dimensions, namely the Academy of the Army or Military Academy located in Magelang, the Naval Academy in Surabaya, the Air Force Academy in Yogyakarta, and Police Academy in Semarang. Construction and management of the four academies carried out by Commander General of the Military Academy after the passing of the 1998 reform era. Since April 1, 1999, the Police Academy seceded from the Military Academy AKABRI, so that the Academy was renamed into TNI Academy and only consists of three dimensions, namely the Army Academy, Naval Academy, and Air Force Academy. On December 16, 1971, the establishment of Bangladesh. On December 16, 1971, 2 weeks after India invaded the eastern part of Pakistan, the harsh reality must be accepted by Pakistan. Their army, numbering 90,000, had to surrender to the Indian forces in the region. The defeat was so painful for Pakistan because of these losses, resulted is Pakistan officially seceded from the country and declared themselves as Bangladesh. Since the British and its rule in 1947 from the West and East Pakistan, both regions often hostile. Cultural differences as well as the Indian state which separates the East and West was increasingly sparking and burning spirit of East Pakistan to independence. Actually, before the war broke out in March, the East Pakistani army has proclaimed country of Bangladesh. But it did not take place a long time, Pakistan to take immediate action and attack the stricken area. Bangladesh struggles finally succeeded. In 1974, Pakistan finally recognized the independence and sovereignty of Bangladesh officially. Now we conclude of today's segment of Today in History with the last event on December 16, 2003. The House chose Chairman of Corruption Eradication Commission (KPK) for the first time. The Corruption Eradication Commission of the Republic of Indonesia (KPK) is a state institution that was formed with the goal of improving the effectiveness and efficiency of the effort to eradicate corruption. KPK is an independent body and free from influence of any authorities in carrying out its duties. The commission was established under the Law of the Republic of Indonesia No. 30, year 2002, concerning Corruption Eradication Commission. In performing its duties, the commission guided by the five principles, namely the rule of law, transparency, accountability, public interest, and proportionality. The commission is responsible to the public and expressed openly and regularly report to the president, parliament, and the BPK. In carrying out the mandate of law No. 30, 2002, in 2003, parliament held election of chairman of the commission for the first time. After going through the two times voting mechanisms, finally, on December 16, 2003, the parliament elected Taufikur Rahman Ruki became the first chairman of the commission for the 2003 to 2007 term of office. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to Voice Green. Today we'll talk about Paris Agreement, humanity historic event. The parties 21 or COP21 meeting of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, UNFCCC, was closed on Saturday, December 12th by adopting the Paris Agreement. Minister of Environment and Forestry of Indonesia, Siti Nurbaya, escorted by Antara, conveyed the Paris Agreement that has been adopted by 195 countries at the climate change conference COP21, become a historic event for the sustainability of the present and future of human life. Siti Nurbaya said, Indonesia assessed the Paris Agreement is important and should be perceived as a shared ownership because the deal is the need of all countries in addressing the consequences of climate change for humanity. In addition, Minister Nurbaya appreciates the solidarity and collective action of all countries, both developed and developing countries, which was reflected in the agreement. According to Nurbaya, Paris Agreement encourages developed countries to continue to lead and provide support to the developing countries. On the other hand, the developing countries continue to contribute in controlling climate change according to the capacity of the countries. Indonesia also has a homework that should be completed, such as mitigation through the reduction of emissions in forestry, energy, industry, and transportation sectors. Meanwhile, in the context of adaptation, which is driven by the delegation of the Republic of Indonesia for the sake of national interest, an agreement must be implemented by all parties, namely strengthening and implementation of the policy conducted by the government, while activities done by communities and indigenous people. Other national interests listed in Paris agreements, namely marine issues, the centers of biodiversity conservation and affirmation on RED or reducing emissions from deforestation and forest degradation. Minister Siti Nurbaya also said Indonesia had to work hard to ensure the global temperature increase below 2 Celsius degrees and prepare for COP22 in Morocco. The adoption of a new deal to tackle climate change in Paris was chaired by the president of COP21 UNFCCC, Laurent Fabius, who is also Minister of Foreign Affairs of France, and attended by a number of officials such as UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, French President François Hollande, and former Vice President of the United States, Al Gore. On the other hand, the Indonesian Forum for Environment, WALHI, a non-governmental organization that focuses on environmental, considered that the Climate Change Convention 2015 in Paris did not guarantee the changes to the system of natural resources management in Indonesia. Campaign manager of WALHI, Kurniawan Sabar, said, the environment and people of Indonesia who are vulnerable to and affected by climate change will be in the position at an increasingly alarming state. According to Kurniawan, an agreement in Paris actually will provide a very significant impact for the community and environmental sustainability. However, the result of the Paris Agreement only giving benefit to the rich countries, but there is no guarantee toward climate improvement and safety of the people. Kurniawan added, it cannot expect improvement of the system of natural resources management in Indonesia if forest management, coastal and marine, and Indonesian energy still be a part of the market scheme, which only to meet the desires of developed countries for climate change mitigation. Listener, that was Voy Green.
Listener, here is the headlines of several national newspapers published today, December 16, 2015. We begin with Republika, which wrote, Palestine needs concrete support. Palestine asks concrete support from international community. The support is needed. not only in gaining independence, but also defending East Jerusalem as their capital city. Palestine Permanent Observer to United Nations, Riyad H. Mansour, conveyed it on the closing of International Conference on Question of Jerusalem in Jakarta Tuesday, held by the United Nations Palestinian Rights Committee. According to Mansour, discussion on Jerusalem issue cannot be separated from the context of Israel occupation over East Jerusalem and colonialism over Palestine in a broader sense. He admitted the international community is siding to Palestine, including on East Jerusalem issue. However, Mansour urged the international community to provide support not only through statement, but also its realization in practical level. He also appreciated Indonesia, which was willing to host the conference on Jerusalem. This conference will be an annual agenda, and next year is expected to be discussed in Africa. Meanwhile, Compass, in its headline, wrote, "Listen, people's voice." People ask for the conscience of House of Representatives Ethics Council, or MGADE, that on Wednesday will decide the case of ethical violation by House's Chairman Setia Novanto. People still hope the members of MGADE will think clearly and uphold common sense. The decision on Novanto's case will be taken in the plenary session of MGADE that, according to the plan, will be closed. If in the end Novanto is decided as guilty, 17 members of MGADE will decide the sanction of Novanto. Still on Novanto case, Media Indonesia wrote, "Factions against Novanto." By wearing black ribbon with hashtag SaveDPR on their left hand, 30 interfaction members of the House signed a petition demanding the chairman of the House, Setia Novanto, to resign. They said Novanto does not deserve the leading position due to his Papa Asked for Shares case. President Joko Widodo also asked the House's Ethics Council, or MGADE, to listen people's voice in taking decision. Presidential Chief of Staff Teten Mastuki said the president asked for fair decision. The president, according to Teten, stated the process in MGADE to separate legal facts and ethics case. Related to Novanto's case, the Attorney General Office kept on trying to summon Muhammad Rizal Khalid despite of his unknown whereabouts. The Attorney General Office saw the case as conspiracy. Well, listener, we end today's headlines with Business Indonesia. Domestic economic improves. Indonesian trade balance in November 2015 recorded to be deficit after the surplus since December last year, is potential to continue and indicate economic improvement. Central Statistics Agency on Tuesday reported the balance of trade in November experienced $0.35 billion deficit caused by the import realization worth $11.51 billion, increasing month to month 3.61%. On the same time, the export is weakening 7.91% from $12.12 billion into $11.16 billion. Meanwhile, Economic Coordinating Minister Darmin Nasution said the trade balance deficit is potential to increase slowly if the domestic economy is improving when the export demand is decreasing due to the global economic slowdown. He admitted the surplus of trade balance that occurred since the beginning of the year is more influenced by the faster import decrease compared to the export decrease. Minister Darmin Nasution also added, during the current domestic economy condition with its import, the decrease is slower. Well, listener, that was the headlines today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo this morning gave a speech in Indonesian military TNI leadership meeting. In his speech, the president called all TNI soldiers not to be involved in practical politics. Indonesia needs to reduce inequality between people living in different provinces by further investing in infrastructure, creating more employment opportunities and improving education quality and social protection, particularly in remote areas.
The Maritime Access Program being implemented by President Joko Widodo and his government is currently running positively. It was stated by Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs Rita Ramli on Tuesday. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said on Tuesday that Indonesia still has a deficit in its balance of trade, as its exports have not been recovered. He added that the fact that exports have not recovered is not separable from the ongoing uncertainty about the global economy, which led to a slow demand for Indonesian products. The government of Indonesia should be more active in conducting sunny talks and start of diplomacy so that sovereignty and independence problems being faced by the Palestinians can be resolved. The Indonesian Central Statistics Agency records that Indonesian trade performance had experienced deficit $346 billion in November 2015. Haryadi Sukamdhani, chairman of the Employers Association of Indonesia, or APindo, predicted that the Indonesian economy will grow by 5.5% in 2016. The figure is higher compared to 5.3% assumption made by the government in 2016 state budget. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the frequencies of 9525 kHz or through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to tour to Bali province, so stay tuned. Listener, even though Bali is well known with its beautiful beaches, we suggest you not only spend your time at the beach, because in Bali, there are also many interesting tourism destinations. One of them is Yehsani Swimming Pool. Yehsani Swimming Pool is located at Sani Village, Kubu Tambahan Sub-District, which has a distance around 17 kilometers in the east of Singaraja City. Since 1930, Sani Water has been well known as tourism objects by local people. Yehsani means Sani Water. Yeh in Balinese language means water. The difference between Airsani Swimming Pool and other swimming pools in Bali is in its water, which is natural. The water in Sani Swimming Pool comes from original spring called Yeh Kelebutan. Its spring comes from underground river stream originating from Batur Lake. The water from the spring is often used for Hindu ceremony. This spring appears from the south of Adult Pool, precisely under Frangipani tree, which is close to the temple, a place to worship Lord Vishnu. Yehsani Swimming Pool consists of two pools. One pool is for adult, which is 1.5 meter deep, and one pool is for kid, which is only 0.5 meter deep. Yes, sunny swimming pool has its own uniqueness because its water is not salty, although its location is close to Lovina Beach. Besides that, there is a myth that if young couples swim at Yes Sunny, their relationship will be long-lasting. This myth is still believed until now. Listener, because Yes Sunny swimming pool location is not far from Lovina Beach, if you come to the pool, you can also visit this beach. At Yes Sunny area, there is also a place for Catholic pilgrimage, namely Maria Air Sunny Cave. To go to the cave, you just pass through a small bridge, and around 20 meters on the left, there is a signboard of Pakraman, Banjar Yes Sunny. Not far from there, there is Maria Air Sunny Cave. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Listeners, wherever you are, welcome back in Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, a segment which introduces vocabulary and idioms in Indonesian language along with its use in the conversation. Today's topic is membeli souvenir, or in English language means buying souvenirs. Stay tuned. As usual, at first, I will present some vocabularies and idioms of Indonesian language related to today's conversation. I will say each word or phrase twice slowly. You can repeat after me. Membeli, membeli, which means to buy. Souvenir, souvenir, which means souvenir. Aku dengar, which means I heard. Kedatangan, kedatangan, which means arrival. Tamu, tamu, which means guest. China, China, which means China. Berapa orang, which means how many people. Dua orang laki-laki, which means two men. Berapa lama, which means how long. Kurang lebih, which means around. Lima hari, which means 5 days. Ke Thailand, which means to Thailand. Kamu, kamu, which means you. Berikan, berikan, which means give. Mereka, mereka, which means they. Sebilah keris, which means a kris. Ukiran kayu, which means wood carving. Bagus sekali, which means very good. Aku setuju, which means I agree. Well, now here is a sample of conversation related to our today's topic. The conversation is between Alika or A and Andika or B. I will say every sentence 2 times slowly. You may follow after me. Hai Andika, aku dengar kamu kedatangan tamu dari Cina ya. Hai Andika, aku dengar kamu kedatangan tamu dari Cina ya. Which means, hai Andika, I heard you have guests from China.
Ya, benar. Hari Selasa yang akan datang mereka tiba di Jakarta. Ya, benar. Hari Selasa yang akan datang mereka tiba di Jakarta. Yes. Next Tuesday they will arrive in Jakarta.
Berapa orang tamu dari China? Berapa orang tamu dari China? Which means how many Chinese guests are there?
Ada 2 orang laki-laki. Ada 2 orang laki-laki, which means there are 2 men.
Berapa lama mereka di Jakarta? Berapa lama mereka di Jakarta? Which means how long will they stay in Jakarta?
Kurang lebih 5 hari, lalu mereka ke Thailand. Kurang lebih 5 hari, lalu mereka ke Thailand, which means around 5 days, then they will go to Thailand.
Souvenir apa yang akan kamu berikan kepada mereka? Souvenir apa yang akan kamu berikan kepada mereka? Which means, what souvenir will you give to them?
Sebilah keris dari Jogja dan ukiran kayu dari Bali. Sebilah keris dari Jogja dan ukiran kayu dari Bali. Which means, a keris from Jogja and a wood carving from Bali.
Oh, bagus sekali. Aku setuju. Oh, bagus sekali, aku setuju. Which means, oh, very good, I agree. Listeners, this is the end of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. We will meet again next week with another interesting topic. Thank you for your attention and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we will present you to Paperless Band from Kendal, Central Java. The band presents pop music genre. Well, listener, let's listen to a song entitled Hujan or Rain.
Menyejukkanku dalam setiap kejadian.
Fearless Band was formed in 2006 by Lukman, the bassist, and Alta, the guitarist, through an extraordinary struggle. The band, which was firstly called The Drust, consisted of four personnel: Alta, the vocalist and guitarist, Lukman, the bassist, Taufik, also the guitarist, and Dodi, the drummer. At that time, they start to work by composing a song entitled Sahabat. Unfortunately, the band existed for 2 years and vacuumed in 1 year due to busyness of each personnel. In 2010, they back to the surface with new names and personnel with the name Pepperless. The new personnel, namely KK, the vocalist, Alta, guitarist, Lukman, bassist, and Dodi, the drummer. Now let's listen to the coming song entitled Pantaskah Aku by Pepperless Band.
Memang dulu
Listener Papalos Band began to record their songs at the Arca Record Company in 2010. Then the song circulated in the Indonesian music industry until at present. After that, they start to work by producing the first single entitled Jalan Hidupku. While the song is famously known by people, which is followed by other songs composed by themselves. The name Papalos was taken from English dictionary, means paper shortages. In 2012, Enggar joined with Papalos Band as guitarist too, followed by Mimi joined the band as keyboardist, and Alta resigned and replaced by Kiki Lolita as the vocalist. They joined with the band in 2013 until at present. Well, listener, before we conclude today's music corner, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Jalan Hidupku and Selamanya Cinta. Enjoy the song and sampai jumpa.
Setiap padamu ku coba.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.